Well, I figured this is the second week with you sitting back here, and I didn't want you to like get comfortable. We're doing the same thing the same way every week, so we're just going to do something differently tonight. If you'll all follow me up to the front of the church, just kidding, we're not doing that. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1, and sounds like some of y'all are getting there. I'm hearing the pages rustling, getting less and less. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would help us tonight as we look at this passage. Help us to have understanding. Help us to have an understanding when we don't understand something. And seek for answers with it. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we can study the Bible, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into an understanding. So, God, we ask that the Holy Spirit be allowed to do that tonight, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth tonight as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start in John chapter 1, verse number 1, and we're going to read through verse 14. Now, here's how we're going to do things a little bit differently. Who would be comfortable reading out loud tonight? Raise your hand if you would be comfortable reading out loud. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, so we're going to throw you in there too, Olin, okay? All right, so if you're going to read out loud, nice loud voice, okay, projecting just like my voice does every time I'm here, although I have a cheater here on the side of my head, okay? And we'll start over here on this side, John chapter 1, verse 1, and then we'll just go verse by verse all the way through verse 14, okay? I think, John, you raised your hand, so you can start us off. Now, before you start reading, okay, if you're looking at that handout that was in your bulletin there, I want you to be looking for two things, okay? The things that just kind of jump out at you, the things that as you're reading, you're like, huh, that's interesting, or I really like that. And then also anything that you don't understand. And as we're reading, as the other people are reading, go ahead and write those things down on your notes there. Okay, so we'll start with John. Go ahead.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
We'll go back to you, Olin, and then we'll start on this side and just work our way across. Verse number 2.
The same was in the beginning with God.
All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life, and life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
I think we're over here to this side. Joan, Leslie, you guys?
There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
Verse number 7.
The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light, which was lightest every man that cometh into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
And he came into his own, and his own received him not.
Next side over here, verse 12. Go ahead, Jackie. Verse 12, sorry.
Yep. But as many as received him, and then gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, verse 13, someone?
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made. Jesus since then.
No, you're going wrong.
Flesh and blood among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for helping me with that. Now, was that pretty? Yes, it was. It wasn't perfect, but it was God's people reading God's word, right? Okay, so now let's look at the light bulb in your notes there, okay? This is interaction time, interactive interaction time, okay? What jumped out at you? What did you notice? Maybe you had a favorite verse in there. Who would like to share something from that? Armin, go ahead.
I like verse 1, in the beginning. You know, just kind of give your faith. You know, God's in control. The Word was with God.
From the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this world's crazy. And we need a solid foundation. And to me, that's the foundation right there.
Absolutely. Yeah, good. Did I see another hand? Jackie.
All things were made by him.
And why did that jump out at you, do you think? Yes. He made it, so that makes it his, doesn't it? Yeah. Rita? I'm sorry, Rita and then Dan.
I think that he is the light. He's the light of the world. He's our light, too.
That's right. As Christians, he is our light. Yep. Yeah. Dan. That's right. It's holding it all together. Yes. Steve.
There in verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. You know, Christians are the ones who can understand this in the world. But what would you get when you mess with that?
You know, you're right. I mean, you guys agree with that? He's saying the light shines in the darkness, and the world doesn't get it. And we're like, what's your problem? You know, they have no use for the light. And the reason they don't have a use for it is because they don't comprehend it. It makes no sense to them whatsoever. Yeah, did I see another hand over here? Anyone else? Moving back. David.
All right. I've got cheated a little bit here because this is a whole chapter that we just went through yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Taking the whole chapter, there are 9 different things that are specifically said about Jesus. And this, of course, the first 14 verses doesn't cover all 9 of them.
Right.
But in verse 1, Jesus is the light. But it also says that Jesus is God.
Right.
And then in verse 3, Jesus is the creator. And
sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then Jesus is the light. That's found in verse 7.
Right.
And then Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the witness of God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the King. That's over in verse 49. And then the last one is there, Jesus is the Son of Man. And all those things are about the Word or Jesus, who is God.
Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you. Kimberly. Right. Owen, I saw your hand.
I like verse 12. That as many have received him, the night I got saved, the person who would deal with me stopped at the word him. He said, Owen, you're not accepting a plan, but you're accepting a person. And when the moment he said that, the Holy Spirit really locked in the truth that he was a living person when I saw the resurrection. I was a Lost Baptist preacher when I got saved. Long story, but I'll never forget that because I've been preaching the plan of salvation. But he pointed out, he said, "Oh, you're not accepting a plan, but you're accepting a person, Christ, the living Christ."
Wow, that's good. That's good. I think we might come back to that here in a minute or two.
I'm sure.
We might come back to that in a minute here. Okay, Larry.
Well, the first four words in four, in him was life. What kind of life would we have if we hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior?
What kind of life would we have if we hadn't accepted him as our Savior? Absolutely.
It's a scary thought.
Yes. Oh my, yes indeed. Yes indeed. Yeah, Gary.
Yeah, verse 10 talks about God came to this world. He also made this world, but the world just don't want to accept him.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Joe, you look like you're itching to say something.
Well, I like how we're just as important as John was, sons of God, called by God to bear witness as well.
That's very true. Yep. Thank you, Joe. Pat.
13 and 14 both stand out to me. For me, it's we were born not of blood, not nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. The three ways we were not born, but of God.
Okay.
So it goes the negative, positive, and it's land and ends in the positive.
Yeah.
And then the 14, I just like the idea that he became human, and there's, you know, something very important about a human touch that is so comforting. And I think
God
is able to actually touch people.
Yeah. And, you know, the Bible says he was in all points tempted like we are. So, been there, done that, and got a t-shirt, so to speak. Right. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Those are some good insights, some good things that you saw there, like verse 1. Some of you broached on this. Christ was and is God. That's important, don't you think? Yep, Jackie, go ahead.
It says 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, he was rejected, which, you know, as a human being, that helps us because we're rejected a lot in different ways.
Very true.
So, you know, there's an association there with him.
Okay, all right, so the things you have shared, keep those in mind, okay, when we move down through this study here tonight. Verse 1, Christ was and is God. Verse 3, Christ created all things. I know some of you touched on that. Why is that important to know? Steve? And what's not true then?
Evolution.
Thank you. That's right. Evolution. It just doesn't work. God says Jesus created all of it. Okay? Look at verse 9. That was the true light, referring to Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I love that verse because that tells us the light is for all men. All men. And remember back a few weeks ago when we were talking about image bearers, okay, in the context of hospitality and those people out there in society that we would just turn our heads to. They are image bearers of Christ. And the light is for them. Now, you look at the world that they run in, who's going to give them the light in that world? It takes us stepping across that great religiously sometimes arrogant divide and touching their lives with the light, right? So look at verse 12. I'm going to have you do something with this verse here. Verse 12, it says, "Everyone, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So everyone that receives is given power to become the sons of God. Okay? So I'm going to receive Christ. I'm just spitting back what we've just read. I'm going to receive Christ. Christ is going to give me the power to become the Son of God. Now, just reading that, what does that sound like?
You're saving yourself.
does, doesn't it? Armin said, it sounds like you're saving yourself. I receive Christ and he gives me power that one day I'll be able to become a son of God. Just reading it, that's what it says. But here's where we have to do more than just read God's word. We have to study God's word. Study has five letters. It should only have four, because then it'd be a dirty four-letter word, right? Because people don't like to study. And this is where we have to study, and the key word there is power, okay? Now, I want someone to take, and I did this earlier, and for the sake of time, I might speed it up a little bit. If you got your phone, Google it, okay? Google, what does power mean in John 1:12? Okay, I'll give you whoever's got the fastest 4G, LTE, 5K, whatever it is. I don't know. Pull it up real quick. What does power mean in John 1:12? Yes, Armand.
I don't have a phone, but I got a Bible. Authority.
Okay, all right. Someone else. Someone else on their phone. What comes up? Recognition, okay. Oh man, the phones are slowing down. Too many of you are online draining our service. Yeah, everyone was afraid to bring their phone in tonight, right? Anyone got it yet? Okay, the first when you Google something, you get a lot of different websites that you can go to, okay? And the first one, at least on mine, maybe it's because frequency of use or something, is BibleHub.net. And you click on that, and they give you not just some man's opinion, but they have a couple of dozen of commentators, Barnes, Matthew Henry, and all kinds of other ones, that will tell you, and they take you right to that passage in their commentary so that you can read their commentary and you don't have to have a pile of books with you when you're doing it, okay? That's if you have a smartphone that is awake and not sleeping, okay? So the word power, here's what it, yes, Kimberly, and then we'll get Pat's. Go ahead. Okay, and you got the same thing, okay? A power, using the word power to define the word power is kind of non-productive. But it says privilege, okay? And that's what I kept coming up with on the different commentaries that I looked at in the space of about 5 minutes. Didn't spend a lot of time. I didn't have to do a Greek theological word study. Just boom. These guys have already done it. Privilege, okay? So now, let's put that back into the verse so that we don't misinterpret the verse. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do we get that privilege? Believe, yes. Did as many as received him, to them gave he that privilege. And then at the end, he reiterates that truth, makes it more clear, even to them that believe on his name. Now, verse 13, one more thing. How do they get that privilege? It goes on, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you notice it listed three things there? Okay, here's how they didn't get that privilege. They weren't born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Those are three ways you don't get the privilege of being called the sons of God. God expands on that there for us. Not of blood. What do you suppose that God's referring to when he says you don't get the privilege of being a Christian because of blood? Inheritance. I was born into it. My great-granddaddy was a Baptist preacher. Yeah, I'm going to heaven, right? Okay. How else might you apply that, though, that truth? You're not born into it. Like a modern-day reason that people have for their going to church, and this would help you with that. How about this? I was sprinkled as a baby. Okay. I've been a Christian since I was born. Some people will say that. John chapter 1, take them right down to verse 12. Here's how we get it. Verse 13, God says, you're not born into it. Now look at the second one. We weren't born into God's family because of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now, what do you suppose that's talking about? What's that? Works, okay, I'm not too bad, I'm a good person, in other words. It'd be the opposite way of saying that. I'm a good person, I do good things. I think, Dan, you said works? Yeah, I hopefully I'm going to do enough good things that I'll get to heaven. And you could say, wow, that really sounds good. How many good things do you have to do, okay? Nobody knows. John chapter 1, verse 12, and then verse 13 helps him to see. God even says, nope, it's not by the good works we do. And now look at that third one. It says, nor of the will of man. Right, nor of the will of man. What do you suppose that one's talking about?
You can't just say the words. Like
your salvation. Yes. Yes. Now, how would that play out? How would someone think they're going to heaven because they said the words? How does that fit the will of man? Style, what do you think?
Well, the first time I thought I got saved, I was like 5 or 6, and basically I was told, hey, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. So I was like, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to say the prayer, and now I'm saved. So I just said the words, but the belief wasn't there.
Okay, the will of man, another word for that phrase is desire. Okay, and you desired to not go to hell. Right, I heard someone over here. Almost, David.
I want my kids to go to heaven, so I'm going to will them into heaven.
Oh, yes, yes. And some people even call that praying them into heaven too. Even after they've passed away, we're going to pray them into heaven because that's what our desire is. Okay, I'm going to go to heaven just because I want to, and or I want my dad to go to heaven, who just passed away last week. He didn't. Okay. My brothers and sisters are listening. He's fine. Okay. So I'm just going to pray him into heaven. God's word shoots that down, doesn't it? Right? Okay. Here's something else. And maybe you've struggled with this before too. I remember when I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I know I'm a sinner. And I remember praying this prayer in John 10 verses 9, or Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay. Did I really mean it when I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart? Did I really mean it? And some people really struggle with, when they said the words, did they really mean it? Was their desire really there? And if we go back to verse 1, or chapter 1 and verse 12, it doesn't say anything about desire. It's just belief. Believe. Debbie. Yes.
Your faith comes in from being in the Word of God, from coming to church and being around people that are there. I can remember, you know, people say this, and I've heard it lots of times. You say that prayer when you're a young child. I did that. And I've had that doubt. And I had a pastor that told me, if you believe that you said it and you meant it, you are saved. It comes from faith. We can get outside of the Word of God and get outside this church, and we're going to have doubts. I've been there, I've done that. But in my heart, I know that I am saved. I might have said that prayer and said that when I was 6 or 7 years old, but deep down in my heart, I know I'm saved. Mm-hmm. And that comes from faith and reading the Bible and knowing what God wants you to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we have kind of blended the light bulb. And there's been some questions too. The light bulb, the question, anything you don't understand after we've already gone through and explained most of it. Kim.
When you said pray them into heaven,
before they're, you were talking about after they die, but if they are away from God, there is a praying then back to God, or praying. I mean, eventually, that's their, that's my
I know the context of your question. I understand what you're asking. So instead of praying someone that's died into heaven, what if we have someone living that's away from God and we're trying to pray them back to God, okay? That's not praying them into heaven. That's praying their heart back to God's heart, in a sense, so that the Holy Spirit can then bring repentance to their heart. And I think that's maybe what we're trying to do when we do that. Yeah. Good question, though. Okay, and we've kind of slipped in and out of the application, the arrow portion, okay? But I want to go back to something that Olin said earlier. He said, we receive him, not a plan. Thank you for saying that. That is priceless, okay? I'm really excited you said that. We sometimes can get so hung up on a soul-winning plan. And they're all a sales pitch, in my opinion, okay? Because you're presenting the problem, you're presenting the solution, and then if there's any objections, you have verses to answer their objections. And you're just kind of trying to close the deal, so to speak, at the end. God just says, present the gospel, okay? Present the gospel, and yes, answer questions and objections, but I think Christians have really gotten intimidated as to the whole plan concept, whether we're using Netcasters or some other plan, or the Romans Road plan. You got to understand, all these plans that we have available today, and we think, I can't do this if I don't know the plan and I don't have the verses memorized. The disciples, they didn't have any plans. None, okay? Kirk Cameron hadn't even been born yet to develop his plan, the way of the master. How did they do it? They just told people what they knew about Christ. And they didn't get hung up on a plan, because it's not the plan people are receiving, they're receiving Christ. And I hope that encourages you to not be intimidated because you don't know the plan or the right way to do it. There isn't a right way. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them what you know. I had that conversation with someone this morning as we were looking at another passage. And it is just a matter of telling people what we know. That's all God asks us to do, you know. So we receive him, not a plan. There's been a lot of good applications here already, and things that you guys have been talking about, and some things that I have shared too. Now, at the top of your notes, it says one-to-one Bible reading. This is what I talked about last Wednesday night. Or was it last Wednesday? 2 weeks ago. Yeah. The very simplistic approach to, and I'm going to say the D word, discipling someone, okay? That's all this is. We just did it right here in the space of 30 minutes. That's all it took. Very non-intimidating, right? Very simple. And as people sharing ideas, the reading the passage beforehand, yeah, it wasn't, in the beginning was the word. No. Just reading it like we read it, right? Okay. You can do this, can't you? It is so simple to disciple somebody, because all that means is you are sitting down with someone and you're reading the Bible together, whether they're saved or even unsaved. And remember what I shared with you, over 60% of unchurched millennials said they would welcome a Christian offering to read the Bible with them. That's amazing, right? So we've made it as simple as possible. We just have to go do it. And 2 weeks ago, I had encouraged you to write some names down on your notes there. Someone saved, maybe someone unsaved, someone that is kind of new to the church or new to the faith. Start reading the Bible with them. 30 minutes, that's it. Now, one last thing we have to do. We have to set a date for the next time we're going to meet. How about next Wednesday, say 7 o'clock? Okay. And then we close with prayer. Done. That's all it is. Can you do it? I mean, it sounds easy enough. I think every one of us in here can do it. But we just got to take the next step and call someone or ask someone, you want to read the Bible with me? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the simplicity of your word. And Lord, I think more than anything else, Satan wants us to think it's complicated. Understanding of it is unattainable unless we've been trained to do it. You did not give this word to pastors to tell people what it means. Another church teaches that, but that's not what your word teaches, and that's not what we teach. You gave the word to people so that we could know you. And as we know more of you, we become more like you. And the steps of growth and discipling continue. God, help us this was the easy part. Help us to do the hardest part, which would be just asking someone. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go ahead and break up into some prayer groups.